It's time to talk that talk, and we talk it like no one else.
This is The Stinking Truth.
Now, here's your host, Mark Schlereth.
The Browns and wide receiver Jerry Jeudy have agreed to a three-year contract extension worth up to $58 million. That includes $41 million fully guaranteed. For more on this, let's get joined by our Odyssey NFL insider. His name is Mark Schlereth, host of the Odyssey Original Podcast, the Stinkin' Truth Podcast, covering the entire NFL. Mark, how are we doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're good. We're not as good as Jerry Jeudy.
No, the guy,
the guy that you said has hands for feet. Just got paid the bag. Listen, Mark, it doesn't make sense to me, mainly because I believe in a lot of what you were saying. I think you're accurate in that he's more of an athlete than he is a football player, so make it make sense for me.
Well, I mean, I can't. Obviously, you know, one of the things about the National Football League that is really interesting, especially this time of year with the draft and free agency and all those things, and I know he was a trade, but a lot of times that teams get enamored by potential. And, you know, they get enamored by – that's why there's so many mistakes in the draft. You're so enamored by potential and by athleticism. And, you know, I always said this about being in the NFL and in an NFL locker room. If you think the egos are big in the locker room, walk upstairs to the coaches' offices. Walk upstairs to the GM's office. Because there's not one of those people that doesn't think, wow, under my expert tutelage, I'm such a great coach that I'm going to get the best out of this guy. And, you know, they will take guys, they will take flyers on guys that are, you know, average football players but are exceptionally gifted as athletes and think that they're going to make them great football players. And one thing I always say about football and athletics is that football is really easy for football players. It's really hard for athletes, exceptionally hard for athletes. And so, you know, again, maybe he turns out to be great. I don't know. Like, I have my doubts, but maybe he does. Maybe a new environment's what he needed. But this doesn't necessarily, to me, help him in the process of understanding and taking responsibility for you being a bust in Denver. You know, I heard his press conference. Well, it's nice to be somewhere where I was wanted. Well, I think the Broncos wanted you when they drafted you in the first round at 15 overall, knucklehead. Like, I think that was pretty much them saying, hey, we really like you, we really want you, but, you know, until you take responsibility for where you are, like, you are where you are because of the dumbass decisions you've made, you know, and that goes for every walk of life. So hopefully it works out. Hopefully he's incredibly productive. Hopefully he makes me my words at some point. But the bottom line is what I've said here in Denver over the last several years has been entirely 100% on the nail on the head, 100% accurate.
The part that stays with me there is you saying it doesn't help being a bust in Denver, because I'm with you. I thought new scenery and then also the idea that he'd have to, you know, maybe work a little bit harder and try to prove himself all over again. We just got paid the bag. So what does that do, Mark?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, it's probably not a good thing. Hey, listen, like I said, the kid is incredibly talented. He really is. And, hopefully at some point there becomes an awareness of, like, what my deficiencies are and what I have to do to overcome those things to essentially earn it. We shall see. I mean, the NFL is littered with dudes with potential. And that's what kills me about the draft, that all the potential. I hear that all the time. One of the things I hear about quarterbacks all the time, but I know I'm on a tangent, but, you know, the potential of this guy, his ability to make big-time throws down the field and his off-schedule plays. Can I tell you about off-schedule plays? You cannot survive in the NFL simply because you're a good off-schedule playmaker. The NFL is, I call it the 70-30 rule. 70% of the time, we need to be on schedule as an offense. And, you know, if you get out of whack and you're 45, 50% off schedule, more bad is going to happen to you than good. You're going to take too many sacks. You know, you're going to turn the ball over. Those things don't work. And I'm having a conversation a couple of years ago with Byron Leftwich, who was the offensive coordinator with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I said, what is it that makes Tom Brady so good? And he said this, he goes, the boring. Mm-hmm. He said, if we're running a combination, a route combination, where there's a flat and maybe there's a curl behind it or whatever it is, and the first read of the progression is the flat, and it's open for a four-yard gain or a five-yard gain, Tom Brady takes it 100 out of 100 times without hesitation. And it keeps us on schedule. And it keeps us moving the chains. And there are so many guys that want to play hero ball and say, well, yeah, I could take that, but maybe I could push the ball down the field, make something big happen. And, like, I'm not interested in guys who can make the big play, you know, the off-schedule play, as much as I'm interested in guys who can play within the context of the offense and guys who can play and do the boring, because the boring is what wins.
Mark, it's been a week since we talked to you, and since then, Russell Wilson's ended up here in Pittsburgh. And you look at this division now with the quarterbacks, and Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson here, and now Russell Wilson, maybe Justin Fields in Pittsburgh. How much better does Wilson make the Steelers?
Well, they won 10 games last year. How much better? That's an interesting question. If I'm handicapping that division, I mean, the Steelers played with three different quarterbacks, right? Cleveland played with three different quarterbacks. If I'm handicapping the division, with or without Russell Wilson, they're still the fourth best team in that division. You put Baltimore or Cincinnati with Burrow back. You put those two right there at the top with Cleveland. Again, the big if for me with Cleveland, because I think roster-wise, man, they're loaded. Their ability to run the ball, their ability to play defense, all that. They're loaded roster-wise. It's just a matter of if Watson can get back to form and can be healthy. And so, but I would probably handicap that with the Bengals and the Ravens right there at 1-1A, if you will, and then Cleveland right behind them.
How would you handicap the quarterbacks in the division? Would you put Russ above Deshaun?
Heck no. No way.
That was a quick answer, okay.
Yeah, no. I think Russ is very limited. Now, listen, there's still things he does exceptionally well. He can still throw a deep ball as well as just about anybody in football, and you've got to create an offense in which, he's got that opportunity. I think, the thing that's crazy to me, I get all these – I call them rusties. All the rust sycophants. I get all these rusties.
They're called the rusties?
Yeah, the rusties.
Okay.
All the rusties are on me all the time. Like the rusties, this he won a Super Bowl. He won the Super Bowl and blah 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 blah. And in the same sentence, they'll talk about how the game's changed. Well, I'm like, okay, well, wait a minute. He won the Super Bowl in 2013. Like, you don't think the game has changed? Let me ask you this. You think edge rushers are different now? They're all 230 and they run 4.38. You think they're different now than they were in 2013? You think maybe that position's changed a little bit more? So when you perceive pressure and you decide to bail out the back of the pocket, how many big plays are you making? How many times are you taking sacks? Because I think it's increased exponentially. I think the athleticism off the edge and the way people play with those five-man fronts and the two edge guys, everybody plays this Vic Fangio. It's really a Vic Fangio-style 3-4 defense, but they play a lot of five-man fronts, and the two edge guys are outside linebackers that can flat run like a deer. And so, you start to look at the game and how the game has changed, and Russell hasn't – it's not like he's lost a ton of athleticism. He's lost a little bit of athleticism, but the edge players have gained in athleticism exponentially. And when you watch him play, I'm telling you guys, when you study the film, it is flat out amazing how many times he pulls a ball when he is completely protected or when he should step up, and he constantly tries to escape out the back end. I've watched him take sacks on three-step drops where offensive tackles are taking short sets, and he's bailing out the back of the pocket because he either can't see it or he misses it and ends up taking a sack, and it's third down or second down and 17 or second down and 19. And you're like, you can't function that way. It's impossible to function that way. So, you know, as an ex-offensive lineman, it drives me crazy when I see a quarterback who doesn't understand protection, doesn't understand the security of the pocket, and doesn't use it to his advantage.
I guess I would ask you then, what have you seen from Deshaun that would put you above Russell Wilson?
Well, I go back to what Deshaun was before he had, you know, his legal troubles and his suspensions. And Deshaun had a couple of years where, you know, a couple seasons where he was really, really good, and he was good at everything. And, you know, that's diminished to a degree, but I still look at him as young enough to figure it out again and to do it. And I just don't know. Like, I don't know the mental makeup of Deshaun. And I will tell you this, guys, without, you know, rehashing all the crap that went down there, I just know this about myself. You know, some players are really good at using the field as a place to get away from their problems. And I was not one of those guys. Things had to be right at home, right? I mean, if I have a fight with my wife, it's going to bother me. And so call me not mentally tough enough. I just wanted things to be right. And so I've seen a lot of guys who can live in absolute chaos, and they get to the field and it all just dissipates, and that's where they have the most freedom. I'm not wired that way, and I don't know how he's wired, but I think it would be exceptionally hard to have the things that, you know, that he is accused of and responsible for and this, that, and the other hanging over your head. I think it'd be an incredibly hard thing to overcome and be able to put that, you know, mentally to bed and be able to go out and play well. That, for me, it would. I just know that.
One other thing I want to ask you about, I mentioned the Wilson thing to Pittsburgh. Fields is also there. Do you think Fields could be the long-term answer for the Steelers?
Listen, Fields has got a ton of potential. Here would be my biggest issue. Like, he is not accurate enough or stable enough at doing the boring things underneath and taking advantage of, you know, some of the high-low concepts and some of that stuff that you have to be really good at, in my opinion, you know, to consistently drive a football team down the football field. Like his ability to run the ball and all that kind of stuff is great, but is that sustainable? My problem with athletes who turn into quarterbacks, like the exceptional athletes that we make into quarterbacks, most of the time, I think almost all the time, but the majority of the time, when things break down and you're wired that way, you're built that way, you've always been able to out-athlete people, then when things break down, your default mechanism is from the neck down. And to be an NFL quarterback and to have longevity and continued success, I believe your default mechanism needs to be from the neck up. And the problem is when your default mechanism is from the neck down and you're relying on athleticism, that's an unsustainable form of playing that position. You're going to get hurt. You're going to get laid out. You're going to get – I mean, I called the game against Detroit, and I literally thought that Justin Fields got decapitated. He got hit so hard coming around the edge on a run, like a zone read. I literally thought he lost his head. And he popped up, to his credit, man. But I'm like, dude, like, you will not survive long term, you know, making that move. I don't know how many other quarterbacks should have popped up from that, but he got crushed.
Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schwereth, host of the Odyssey original podcast, The Stinkin' Truth Podcast, covering the entire NFL. Make sure to follow The Stinkin' Truth Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Fantastic insight as always. We'll catch up with you later. Thank you, Mark.
Sounds good. Take care.
Thanks, Mark.
All right, Mark Schwereth right there on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.